welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Feature Other. Today I have to apologize. We should have a cool backdrop behind me on YouTube, but today we're in my dining room for pressing issues. But I do have a fabulous guest, Victoria, I don't know how to say it, Virta something.
Vertuga.
Vertuga. I wasn't sure how to say it, but welcome to the show, director of Lexi. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
So I have a question. Is this like a COVID film for you? Because it seemed to me it was.
Yes, totally. Yeah, it was written and produced and all that stuff during like the early days of COVID. Because, yeah, all of our other plans, like many of us, got thrown to the side and we still wanted to figure out a way to be creative and do something. So had to come up with a concept that lent itself to being shot, you know, mostly me in the place I was with a few actors that could be one at a time. So that's kind of what we landed on.
So how was shooting a film that you have to do everything? I mean, I think you're literally lighting yourself at times because I do notice. I mean, it's literally you in a room and you have to create content.
That is exactly accurate. And it was a very weird experience in like every way possible. Just the whole way we shot it and was completely different from anything I think I'll ever do again, because I did it at home. You know, I'm working from home doing my consulting and all my writing and my stuff, and my husband's working from home. So did it like piecemeal over months, right? So it wasn't like, you know, 3 weeks of filming and we're done with this. It was like fitting it into the life as we could and kind of figuring things out as it went. There were a lot of things that were in the script that once we actually shot it, we were like, eh, I don't know if I'm loving that. And there were ideas we had during the filming that we would try that made it into the movie. So yeah, it was definitely a very interesting experience in kind of every way. It was very unique to the circumstances of the time. And yes, it was a lot of hats for me to wear for sure. And one of the things that was actually really challenging that I wasn't necessarily expecting was just, the acting into an iPhone, right? Because for the vlogs, it's like, you know, wanting to look like actual vlogs. So it's me in an iPhone. So just like the weirdness of like you having this performance to this tiny little iPhone screen was something I had to kind of get used to find my groove with that. So yeah, it was definitely challenging in a lot of ways, but also really fun because it was challenging and we had so many restrictions on us. So it was figuring out a way to be creative, you know, with those restrictions.
So when shooting the vlogs, did you watch other people's vlogs? Do you follow vlogs normally?
I do not follow vlogs normally at all. So yeah, I definitely had to find some people that were kind of in that self-helpy, like positive thinking, you know, be your best you kind of thing that they're doing and kind of get a feel for what the vlogs were like and what their personalities were like and kind of how they did what they did. So yeah, much research was required because that's definitely not my my jam.
I gotta ask. Getting to know you for the first time. You're totally acting in your film. Like you come nothing like you're not this person. So
I'm not.
How do you suppress this energy when you're acting? Like you are suppressing. I want people to know this is not what I saw.
Yeah.
At all.
I mean, that's the magic, right? I think the beauty of acting is that it you're connecting to different pieces of ourselves, right? We're very complex, interesting human beings with many facets to us. So whenever I get a project where there's something I've written or something that I'm doing that I haven't written, it's connecting to it. It's like, okay, well, in this situation, these are the words I'm saying and these are the things I'm doing and this is what I'm feeling. So why? You know, what would make me behave this way? What would make me say these things? What would make me do these things? So that's kind of the fun part of it for me is like putting that puzzle together. And it's funny, people who know me in Lexi, they think like I've got a comment from so many people who are like, oh, I forgot I was watching you, which is awesome. That's great. And also it was funny because there's some things that like I do agree with of some of her philosophies and stuff. They're like, it's weird. It was like your philosophies, but coming out of the mouth of like somebody else. So it's interesting in that way. But that's kind of, you know, part of why we do what we do, because it's really fun to be able to have that challenge.
So let's pick up on that. You're saying that people are saying this is you. So the vlogs are really you. These are really your opinions.
I mean, to some extent, not really. I mean, you know, obviously I volunteer and I believe in that kind of stuff. And so there's some certain things that she says that I think I do agree with or whatever. Being of service, I'm a big person who believes in that. So yeah, there are little tidbits of my own life philosophies that Lexi shares as well. Obviously, said through a different lens. You know what I mean? Because so much of the self-help stuff, it tends to be a little, or at least my opinion of it, my is that it can be a little much, right? It can be a little bit saccharine all the time, a little bit too positive, almost to the point of where it's like kind of like a toxic positivity. So we kind of wanted to tap into that because it was important for her journey, for her to kind of start out in this way that maybe got on people's nerves or grated on people, or they were like, eh, whatever, you know, skeptical of like how genuine she is and that kind of thing. So, and then you kind of watch her devolve over time. So that was kind of important for us to tap into that piece of it where, you know, she's obviously meaning well and she's harmless, but maybe she's like, okay, calm down, girl, a little too much. You know what I mean?
So did you have problems lighting? I mean, usually you go to a set, things are lit. You're lighting this all yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's evident at times. I just, people need to see the film and see.
Yeah.
I can see you had some lighting challenges. Do you want to discuss your lighting challenges or, because different times of day, you look like you're filming with issues at times. I mean, I know you have to get your scene in, but I'm like, I noticed you had problems lighting things at times, it looked like to me.
What do you mean by that? I don't think we had problems lighting. I think you lean into the limitations of a found footage film.
Right.
What it is. So obviously the lighting is very uniform for the vlogs. It looks a certain way. It is what it is.
For the I thought the vlogs were perfectly set up. It was more when you were like wandering around your living room and your dog would show up. And I don't think you planned on your dog just to randomly show up and
succeed. Oh, no, we did.
Okay.
Yeah, it's leaning into the limitations. So I made the choice early on because, again, this is my house during COVID. So I have dogs. So it was like, do we try to film around them, keep them crated while we're filming, or do I just embrace the fact that they're here? So because we wanted to show so much of the house, it just made sense to me to just embrace that they're there. And okay, so Lexi has dogs. So it is what it is. So we definitely plan for them to be there. I think it's very interesting, people's opinions on the dogs and their reactions. I find that very interesting. For me, I liked it because it kind of lends to the mystery because they don't have a clear, for us, it was very important for the story for us to not tip the scales in any one direction as far as what has happened to her. You know, so we had to be very careful about what we showed, and we couldn't have anything that happened that couldn't be explained in multiple ways. So for me, the fact that the dogs are like kind of non-reactive sometimes, and sometimes they react, it kind of lends to the mystery of what's going on. If they had like a definitive reaction to something, to me that kind of tilts the scales one way or another as to what's going on. So I liked it. I felt it kind of fit with everything and like added to the mystery of the thing, where it can be explained in multiple different ways. You know, is this somebody she knows? Is there nobody there? Is she making it up? All these things that kind of can be true. So that's what we liked about it.
Okay, I'm not going to ruin anything, so we'll discuss there. When you were writing it, did you have a definite ending, or it just sort of happened? You go, oh, that's where I want to end it.
We had multiple endings, and that the kind of did have an explanation one way or the other. And ultimately, I didn't like it. I wanted it to. I think it worked better when it's a mystery and it's open-ended and people have to decide for themselves what they think happened. So that's kind of why we went with it that way. It was something that was just left to people's imaginations. And also, that's the case a lot of times. You know, this is a mockumentary for true crime, and there are a lot of things that we see where it's not explained. We don't know the answers. It remains a mystery. So this is the data we have. This is what we know, but we can't definitively say one way or the other what actually happened. And that's kind of what we liked to lean into.
Now, when you were doing your outdoor scenes, you have cars driving by. Did your neighbors ever ruin a shot just by saying, hey, how are you? I haven't seen you for a while.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that definitely happens. My neighbors at this point, we've been here a few years, and so they're well aware of my whenever I have weird, wacky auditions. I'm like, hey, I got to be screaming, call the police. But, like, don't actually call the police. You know, they're used to me and my shenanigans at this point. So if they see a camera, they kind of, like, hustle on by. But yes, that's been built into them over many years.
Now, when you were shooting at night, did you have any issues at all? Because it looks like a lot of the stuff is, I don't want to say handheld, but I would literally say you have a tripod at times. Because, I mean, I don't know what your husband is helping you, if you can even use a camera. I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
For the stuff when I'm, like, walking through the house or whatever?
Yes.
There's some that's handheld. A lot of what we relied on for the house was the Ring footage, the Ring cameras. So I was really interested in the idea of using security camera footage. I just think there's something innately interesting in it because you're like waiting for something to happen in the frame. I hadn't seen it used a lot in other things. So yeah, a lot of it, what we're seeing is just there's the Ring cameras placed strategically around the house. And then there are some shots of her that are handheld, usually with someone who's had a gimbal, but mostly, yeah, either handheld or with a gimbal through the house for like some of the tracking shots.
So I wasn't sure if you really were manipulating your Ring shots. Obviously I knew you were shooting through. Oh, okay, those are real rings then. I wasn't sure on that. I'm like, going, is she manipulating or not? I don't know.
No, it's actual Ring cameras. Yeah. So that's why we had that like built into the story as far as, you know, I think one of the problems I have a lot of times with found footage stuff is like, I don't think they do a great job explaining of why we're watching what we're watching, or they like, at the end, it's like, then all of a sudden there's like a real camera filming the person with the camera and you're like, eh, like how does that happen? So it needed to be consistent and like make sense. So yeah, that's why it was built into the story as far as like her putting the Ring cameras up in the house. So for that footage, that is what it is. That's why maybe you think it does look weird. It's Ring camera footage. Like it's supposed to look weird.
It did look weird, yeah. But I thought you were trying to go for a creepy idea, make it a little more creepy for me. And that
yeah, I mean, I think it's inherently creepy. I think there's something really like weird and captivating about security camera footage. So yeah, that's what most of the footage from inside the house is from the actual Ring cameras.
I think it worked very well for me when you're shooting dark, when the dark and mm-hmm. the Ring camera, I was like, what the? Because that's what I'm waiting for something to happen. I'm looking for something to happen. And then a dog comes in. I'm like, okay, the dog's here. Where's the next step? So yeah, I guess I'm going to ask, was Paranormal Activity one of your influences?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think Paranormal Activity, obviously Creep is really cool. There's so many. What am I blanking on? I was blanking on it. The last, I never remember this movie and I watched it so many times. Anyway, yeah, there were a bunch of influences we had looking at it, as well as documentaries. It's funny, there was a documentary that came out because it was COVID and we were filming it piecemeal. It took us like months to film it. So when we were done with the filming, but not done with the edit and all that, there was a documentary that came out on Netflix called American Crime that was told all with security camera footage and stuff. And we're like, oh my God, that's like exactly what we're doing. So there were a lot of things that it ended up having similarities to that came out like after we were done filming, which was interesting. But yeah, a lot of true crime stuff as well. So yeah, combination of, you know, the found footage horror and true crime to kind of get inspiration.
Not being familiar with your work, did you think of anything else during COVID? Like maybe I could do a comedy or something by myself, or was it always going to be a horror?
I just love horror, and I think it's one of the genres that lends itself to experimentation more than others. I think that you see a lot more creative things being done in the horror space. You know, there's a lot more kind of wiggle room for artistic expression and again, just creativity and storytelling. So yeah, I felt for this, we kind of always wanted horror, thriller, mystery in that space or whatever. I think it's a lot, first of all, a comedy by alone isn't really, you know, I don't know. If somebody did that during COVID, rock on. If they managed to film an 80-minute feature film with just themselves being funny, that's like a stand-up hour, you know? I'm not sure how you do that exactly, so.
Bo Burnham did it. I'll give Bo Burnham full credit. He did it.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, he's a stand-up, right? So.
Yes, he is.
And I would argue it isn't really the funniest comedy. I mean, it's amazing, but it's not strictly a comedy, right? Because it wasn't really a funny era. So I don't think a lot of us were in a funny headspace, so to speak. You know what I mean?
I do. I presume you did your own makeup then since it was during COVID. It was probably all you.
Absolutely. Yeah. The only things not me are the times that we filmed, you know, the three actors playing are like experts. And then I had a DP shoot them during those times. So it's just me and him and them on those days otherwise.
Okay. I was going to get there anyway. Mm-hmm. When you shot the other actors, did you tell them to ad lib it or did you actually give them dialogue to you?
No, it was completely scripted. Yeah. Completely scripted. Okay. So we shot them, the guy plays Nate, we shot him out of his house. These are actors that I know very well that have been other projects of mine and I know from past experiences. Cause again, this was like early COVID. So there wasn't a vaccine yet. You know, you had to make sure people were comfortable, you know, you're going to be comfortable with me and my, DP coming in or whatever. So, people that I know very well that like obviously weren't skeeved out to work with me during that time. So yeah, Frankie, is amazing. He has, directed and been DP for multiple projects of mine in the past. So he came on board to help us out with the interviews. And then they were amazing in their characters. But yeah, it was completely scripted. That was all written, all their stuff.
Okay, you have a bunch of mean comments from on YouTube. Write those mean comments?
Did I write mean comments? I have too many things to do to write mean comments about my own projects.
No, who wrote them? Like, they were nasty.
Oh, that's the internet. That's just how it is. Which I think is really funny because I think it's ironic given the subject matter of Lexi that people are like that. It's funny. To me, it's very meta. So yeah, there's opinions. People always have opinions. It is what it is. That's one of the, just the realities of putting yourself out in the public eye in any way, shape or form. You know, people are going to have opinions.
Well, I guess I'm okay. I don't get negative comments. Usually people are happy with their interviews. So far, I guess I'm doing okay.
Nice.
Now, did you have problems creating your person, like the happy-go-lucky person? Like, we obviously know it's not you now, but I mean, you say parts of you, but did you ever post them ahead of time or people didn't see them until Lexi came out?
The vlogs?
Yes.
No, they were just part of Lexi. So they don't exist elsewhere like us, its own thing. We didn't create, people have asked me that, like, why didn't you create a whole YouTube channel for her and do all that stuff? And like, yeah, we could have, but also it's like, you know, I have a million other things going on and there's only so many hours in the day. So
no, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. So we did not do that. So that was just exist as part of the movie, no, nowhere else.
Who did your music?
I think we just used, story blocks, like stock music for Lexi. Yeah.
Now, do you watch TikTok? Was one of my questions, because it felt like you're very much trying to do TikTok at times.
No, I don't even watch TikTok, but yeah, I mean, I'm aware of it, but I'm not a big TikTok person.
That's fair enough. Okay. I wish I had more for you, but it's just, I'm kind of stuck here in this world. You're so good at answering everything fully. You kind of ripped everything right out. But I do have some fun questions for you.
Let's do it.
At least we can do it this way. Your first time on the show, we'd like to know your favorite film.
My favorite film ever? Oh, this is so hard. Can you give me, like, in a genre? One genre?
Romance.
Romance? Ugh, you picked a genre I don't even like. I got nothing. I'm not a rom-com girl. It's, like, my least favorite genre. But
fine. Musicals? I'll give you some hard ones.
You're giving me, like, oh, no, I actually do like musicals. Hairspray. I love Hairspray.
That's one of my favorite. You want me to give you an easy one? I'm not going to give you horror because I know you have an answer for me.
Like, I don't know. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I would say Hairspray is probably one of the few, because we're talking about movies, right? I love the musical, yeah. and I think the movie did a good rendition of it. I'm trying to think of anything recent that I liked. We'll just go with that. That's fine. Can't think of anything recent.
Your favorite film from last year. There's something recent for you.
I'll oh, nice. From last year. I loved Everything Everywhere All at Once. I know it's really polarizing. 2 years ago. 2 years ago was Promising Young Woman. I loved Promising Young Woman. I'm trying to think if there's anything else last year. Oh, I love Black Phone. Was that last year or was that 2 years ago?
Black Years, Last Phone. You can have Black
okay,
Phone.
Okay, I love Black Phone too.
Wow, yeah. Two very dark films you chose. Promising Young Woman and Black Phone.
I love dark films and I love gritty, like really, yeah, I totally love that. I love gritty, dark stuff.
Your favorite U.S. chain to eat at?
Fast food?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Let's go with Chick-fil-A because I like their milkshakes.
Fair. I've never had one Chick-fil-A. We would have a couple.
Okay, yeah. The rest of the food, I can honestly give it, like, take it or leave it. But I love the milkshakes. They're really good milkshakes.
Tell everybody where they can find all your wonderful projects.
Yes. So you can follow me. It's just at Victoria Vertuga on all the various platforms. And then Lexi has its own. It's at Lexi Film. And Cold Blows the Wind is at Cold Blows the Wind Film. So, yeah, that's the next project that's coming out. We also have Disgraced, which is out on VOD everywhere. It's a comedy web series that we did right before COVID that came out during COVID. And I think that's it. That's out for now. So, yeah, Cold Blows the Wind should be out late this year to early next year. That's our
thank you for your time and have a great evening.
Thanks so much. You too.
Hey, it's Simon. Thank you for listening to this great interview. If you want to help out the show, please send a PayPal donation to extrafeatures@gmail.com or something even easier. Doesn't cost you any money. Leave us a review on iTunes. Thank you. Bye.